Mr. Knight, thank you.
Takes brother
Norman longer to walk up here than it does to sing his song. So. I appreciate Brother Norman. Good friend. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1. As we look at Jonah's life tonight, we'll find it. Most of us know that Jonah was a minor prophet. And it doesn't mean that his message or the book has less emphasis on it. It doesn't mean that it's not as important. We're just looking at the size of the book of Jonah, that just being 4 chapters, and compared to some of the major prophets like Isaiah that has 66 chapters, or Jeremiah that has 52. And we see that Jonah was a minor prophet, but there's some major truths in the book of Jonah. And we'll see that it's still the Word of God. It can help us tonight. I think it can encourage us tonight. I believe it will challenge us tonight. And before we get into the message, I just want to read a verse of Scripture out of Colossians, verse number 1. You don't have to turn. I think it'll introduce what the Lord has put on my heart tonight, and hopefully we can get a better understanding on the direction that the Lord wants us to go tonight. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "And He, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." I want to preach on that thought tonight. May His presence have preeminence. You know, we need His presence tonight. We need His help tonight. And we see Jonah needed God's presence. Jonah fled from the presence of God, but God was faithful. He was long-suffering. He showed mercy to Jonah one time, and He allowed Jonah to go and preach a great revival. Jonah chapter number 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." I see in verse number 1 the place, or the presence in the place of Jonah's life. We see in verse 1, the Bible says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah." In verse 1, Jonah was at a place in his life where it welcomed the presence of God. He was at a place in verse 1 where it welcomed God's presence, God's communion, God speaking to him. And let me say, any time that the Lord speaks to us, it's an honor. Any time that He looks our way, any time the God that formed this world, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God that parted the Red Sea, that created everything that we have today, any time He looks our way and speaks to us, it's a blessed honor. But we see Jonah, he has a special honor. God gave him this honor. He commissioned Jonah to go and to cry against Nineveh. He was going to honor Jonah by speaking to him. He was going to honor Jonah by guiding him. He was going to honor Jonah by using him. He was going to honor Jonah by leading him to a group of lost, undone, unsaved individuals that could go and get born again. We see it's the greatest need we have in our churches today. The greatest need we have at Fletcher First Baptist Church is not larger crowds. It's not larger offerings. It's not a greater building with new technology. But it's the presence and the power of God. Jonah was at a place in his life, in verse number 1, that it welcomed God's presence. And I want to go on record tonight and say, I welcome His presence here tonight. I need His presence in my life. I need His presence in my preaching. I need His presence in my family. My children need His presence. My church members need His presence. And Fletcher First Baptist Church needs the presence of God. May His presence have preeminence. Verse number one, Jonah was at a place where God spoke to him. He was at a place in his life where God, he welcomed God's presence. It says that Jonah was the son of Amittai. It means that he was the son of truth. Jonah was the son of truth. Jonah welcomed. Jonah was acquainted with the truth. He was, when all of society in Jonah's day was serving false gods, when all of society was turned their thoughts and their ways and their lusts and their pleasures to this world, Jonah was acquainted with truth. He was related with God's amazing grace. He had welcomed God's kindness and His mercy and His grace in his life. He's experienced God's goodness before. And in chapter number 4, you don't have to turn. In verse number 2, listen to what Jonah says about his Lord and Savior. Jonah said, "I know that Thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness." Jonah was the son of truth. He welcomed God's presence. He was at a place in verse 1 where God could speak to him, where God could use him, where God could guide him. And we see that he's not only son of truth, but Jonah's name means dove. I begin to think about a dove, and a dove is a symbol of purity. A dove is a symbol of peace, and a dove is a symbol of faithfulness. And I believe that Jonah lived a pure life. He lived a life that where God could speak to him, a life where God could use him. He lived that a life that was pure, that was holy and acceptable unto God. I also began to think about Jonah's faithfulness, how he mourned like a dove mourns. We think of a dove mourning. I believe Jonah, he mourned for the lost people of Israel and his family and the sins of the land. And may we experience God's presence in our life just as Jonah did in verse number 1. I just want to say God's presence has preeminence. May His presence have preeminence tonight. But I want to see the place of His presence in Nineveh. Look at verse number 2. It says, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Verse 2, it tells us it's a great city. It's the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. They say it was the largest city in Jonah's life at the time. They tell me that the walls of the city were over 100 feet tall. At the top of the walls, they say they were expanded more than 40 foot, that 3 chariots would ride abroad on top of the city walls. It was a great city, the largest city in the known world in Jonah's time. It was a great city of great wealth, a city of great influence, a city of great commerce. It's a city of great power and a great domain. Yet we see it was a great sinful city. It was a wicked city. It was a pagan and heathen city that had no knowledge of a true and living God. And God tells Jonah through His presence by speaking to him to go and cry against the city. We find God's presence is experienced in this city. A great revival. A great move of God. 120,000 people repent, turn to God, and get gloriously born again. May God's presence have preeminence here tonight. Nineveh. It tells us that Nineveh's sins has come up before God. It means that their wickedness had ascended before God's face. Their deeds and their sins was exalted. Their disobedience and their deeds had ascended before God, yet God's grace was greater than all of their sin. Their filth, in their wickedness, in their evilness, in all the evil things that these Ninevites, the Assyrians, were known for. God's presence would take care of all of that in just a few chapters. In our land, that's what we need. In our church, that's what we need. In our family, that's what we need, is God's presence. May His presence have preeminence. I see number three, the price of not having His presence. In verse 3, the Bible says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it." Verse 3, it tells us that Jonah paid the fare. He paid a price to flee from the presence of God. It says he paid the fare thereof. And I just want to say tonight, there will be a price that we pay if we don't have God's presence. There'll be a fare that we have to pay. Jonah literally pays a price. But notice he pays a price with his life. In verse 3, it says he goes down to Joppa. I began to think about Joppa. Joppa means beautiful. It was a beautiful seaport city there on a port. And all was well in Joppa. They say there it was lush green and great commerce and great wealth in this port city of Joppa. That means beautiful. And it may look like all things are going well on the home front, or all things are going well without God. But yet we see that he goes down to Joppa. His life is on a downward spiral. It's on a downward decline when he begins to flee from the presence of God. He finds a ship. Notice he goes down into this ship. Jonah was once at a place where God could speak to him, where God could use him, where God communed with him, where God's presence was welcome in his life, where Jonah wanted God to speak to him. Yet we find in two verses, he begins to flee from this presence. He pays a price. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the ship, and he goes to Tarshish. They tell me that Tarshish in Joppa's day was thought to be at the edge of the world. Jonah was going to pay a fare. He was going to pay a price to go as far away as he could from God's presence. He pays a price. There will be a price to flee from God's presence. He's getting away from God as far as possible, disregarding His presence. He's disregarding His influence. He's not wanting to operate in God's presence or God's power, and he's willing to pay a price. I wonder tonight, are you willing to pay a price to not have God's presence? To not have His presence? To not have Him manifest Himself here on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night? Are you willing to pay a price with your children because you're fleeing from the presence of God? Our Baptist churches, brothers and sisters in Christ, all across this land, is on a downward spiral because they fled from the presence of God. We've told God in America, we'd rather have wealth, we'd rather have influence, we'd rather have pleasures, we'd rather serve the things of this world than to have the presence and the power of God in our lives. Are we willing to pay that fare? Jonah, he had no regard for the price he had to pay. It seems to me that he didn't care what the price was. It said he paid the fare thereof. This ship was going to Tarshish. And whoever was on this ship, whether it was mariners, whether it was merchants, whether it was passengers, all he cared about was fleeing from the presence of God. I don't want to pay that price tonight. I don't want my family to pay that price. However, we see some of the greatest heroes of faith in your Bible fled from the presence of God. Adam and Eve, after they sinned in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says they hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees. Jonah, we find tonight, hiding, fleeing, running from God's presence. Samson, he flees or he disregards God's power in his life. I wonder if we're above fleeing from the presence of God. I see the price that was paid. Notice the people that was needing God's presence. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. He tells Jonah to go and cry against this great city. Nineveh was in the east. He pays a price and he goes to Tarshish, the furthest to the west he could flee from. I began to think, why would Jonah run? Why would Jonah, who welcomed God, who was a prophet, who loved God and served God in verse number 1, now begin to flee from the presence of God? I think it all has to do with one thing. That's salvation. Begin to think about Jonah. And as we read his life, no doubt we think of how he disobeyed God, how he ran from God, how he fled from his presence. But did you know tonight that Jonah is a type of Christ? We see Jonah in chapter number 1. Jonah in chapter number 1 is communion with Jesus Christ. He has a fellowship with his father. His father speaking to him. His father told him to go to the Ninevites. Go to a lost and dying people that had no hope. That had no, that was dying in sin. And in verse, or chapter number 2, we find Jonah is separated from his father. He's in a watery grave. He's in a whale's belly for 3 days and for 3 nights. But we come to the end part of chapter 2, and after 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah, just like our Lord and Savior, was resurrected. He was vomited out. He come forth onto dry ground. I think Jonah's fleeing all had to do with salvation. He tells Jonah to go to cry against the Ninevites. And Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to see this enemy, these Assyrians, this barbaric people, to get born again. The Bible tells us they were barbaric people. History tells us that many times entire cities would commit mass suicide before the Assyrians come, because they had such a grave image, and they knew what their women and children and their men would face if they got captured by the Assyrians. The Assyrians raided Israel on several occasions. And Jonah perhaps knew firsthand of how wicked, how cruel, how evil they were. And God knew, or Jonah knew, if he was obedient, if he operated in the power in the presence of God, that God would save them. I wonder tonight, do we flee from God's presence because we're afraid of salvation? We're afraid that God may convict us. We're afraid that God may come and show us our wrong and show us what we need to correct and repent of. Jonah fled from the presence of God. He knew something about God's presence. He knew something about God's power. He had confidence that God would save him. You know, when God shows up, there'll be salvation. When God comes, there'll be surrendering. When God comes, there'll be servitude. And if we're obedient tonight, if we recognize His presence and we welcome His presence, He can send salvation to our families, to our church, to our community, and to our nation. Look at chapter 3, verse 4 or 5. Chapter 3, verse 4. The Bible says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them." Verse number 10. "And God saw their works, that he turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." God went with Jonah to Nineveh. His presence was realized there in Nineveh, and he saved 120,000 souls. I think it's safe tonight, if we was to get in the presence of God, we might see salvation. We may see some get born again, blood washed, have eternal life in the family of God. It seems, though, that Jonah didn't want this to happen. He didn't want salvation to come. And I wonder the price that we're paying tonight. If we'd only be obedient tonight. If each and every one of us tonight would just be obedient to God speaking. Imagine the revival, the presence, the manifestation of the Almighty God we would experience. The place, the power. Notice the presence in His prophecy. Chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came again, or came unto Jonah a second time, saying, Rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah arrives to Nineveh, and he goes, and the Bible says that Nineveh was a great city, a city of 3 days' journey. It would have took Jonah 3 days to travel by foot the entire city. But notice in verse 4, Jonah only goes a day's journey into the city. And his message was, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah preached 8 words and a great deal was accomplished. Jonah began his message and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And 120,000 people get gloriously saved. 8 words and lives were changed. 8 words and people were saved. It is all because the presence in Jonah's life. It seems to me that we try so hard. We labor, we toil, we strive, we work, and so little is accomplished. We try so hard to do, but if we can operate in the presence of God, so little will be done with great accomplishment. In the presence of God, 8 words, and there's a great revival. I noticed in the text there was no programs. There was no flyers. There was no entertainment. There was no singing. There was no promotion. It was only the presence of Almighty God. Notice God in verse number 1. He tells Jonah, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." God wants to visit His people. He didn't give up on Jonah when Jonah began to flee, and when Jonah began to pay the fare, and Jonah began to take the ship to farthest from Nineveh he could go. But it says He came a second time after being in the depths of the sea for 3 days and 3 nights. You know, God wants to visit with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to come and manifest Himself more than we'll ever know. He longs for that. And I notice in His presence, it seems to me that things begin to be so easy. The preaching will be easy. The singing will be easy. Our testimonies will be easy. Our daily walk will be easy if we can only operate in the presence of God. Begin to think about Moses in closing. In Exodus chapter 33, the children of Israel began to build a golden calf. And as Moses came down off the mountain there, he seen the children that God loved and God's power was with them and His presence was guiding them. They were worshiping and they were praising a false god. Yet the Lord in His mercy and His grace was going to be true to His promise. He told Moses, He said, "Moses, I will lead you to the promised land. I'm going to send you safely to the promised land. I made a promise to you, Moses. I'm not going to renege on that promise." He said, "But I will not go." He said, "I'm going to send an angel before you, and this angel will do battle and will take care of all the Amorites and the Hittites and all the Pezerites." And Moses said, "Lord, that's not enough." He said, "Carry us not up." In chapter 33, verse 15 of Exodus, Moses says, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Moses said, "Lord, it's not enough just to go to the promised land." He said, "God, it's not enough if you don't go with us. The promised land is not special if your presence is not there." You know, tonight we have some promises from the Word of God. If we're saved, our salvation is secure, eternally secure. We have a home in heaven. But you know, it's not enough if we can go through this land without the presence of God. And may His presence tonight have preeminence in our life. Let us all stand. Miss Brenda, if you can come and play something softly on the piano, whatever the Lord plays on your heart.